Friends, this morning I'm turning to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and to verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Today we may have to blend it a little bit with our local language. Now, this lesson, this passage, is about our appointment with death. Our appointment with death. Every human being has an appointment with death. When you bear what you are seeing, you know, for one particular day, there will be a day that death will have to dwell on you, no matter who you are. Death will dwell on you. Be a TV as in Biano, or who will want to share. In the Bible, as 27, my yeti as you say, when you come on to share a debia to her, say, O be a bew, O what you know, at him who are no way. Death is not the final. A lot of people think that when you die. Yesterday, I spoke to two Muslims. The first one believed that when you die, that is the end. There's nothing again. The other one believed that when you die, there's judgment. He believed that we are sinners. But how are you dealing with your sin? Oh, I can ask God to forgive me and God will forgive me. This is the problem. Many people believe that there's death waiting us. People believe that we are going to go through judgment. But as to how to be able to go through the judgment and get into the kingdom of God is a problem. People are not aware that there's a particular way that God has appointed so that you can avoid the judgment into hell. When you go home, I will come be our first word. And when our first word, we be called Nahiman. That is why Christ said in John 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Many a quano, any enquano, any enquano, we be called a journey. I just say onam so. This is what Christ said, and this is the meaning, because Hebrews is about how we will be able to go into the kingdom of God. Hebrews compared what was going on in the Old Testament to the New Testament, and it's all boils on Christ. So we are going to learn a lot today, and I'm praying that the unsaved will be saved. Those who are saved will understand the true way of salvation and be able to preach to other people as well when the opportunity comes. Now, once disappointed unto men to die once, and after death judgment, I always say that every person must ask him or herself every morning if the day, because the appointment is certain, a idea by all means ever happen. Why? Because it is God who has appointed it. When you go born or cut hole, it will ever happen. And today, be an appeal, Mr. Hong says, say, and then I don't know ever. The only thing that we don't know is the day and the hour. And the obeying, but it is certain, death is the most certain event on earth. And yet, it is the one that nobody wants to think about. But yet, it is there. We see it happening every day. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, death entered. Remember one thing, death came before even the law. Before men got to know sin, death was there. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, death started. But then there was no law. So it tells you that death had been from the day sin entered into this world. So when that day comes, because there are only two ways. So our title for today is judgment or salvation. Atemwo anase enkwagye. Two things. That day, when that day comes, it's only two things. You are going to be judged or Christ is taking you to his kingdom. Only two things. There's no in between. And this is where the book of Hebrews shows us the way that we can be able to meet this appointment. Now, because we are all going to die, it's important to know a little bit about what the Bible says about death. As you see, it means so the Bible no can ever uwo hum. This uwo da homo obia. This is the issue. A kwanya Bible no eka ever uwo. Just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went to a funeral in my village. A very good friend's brother died. And I went there. So when I went there, the body was to be lying in state, lying in state on a football field, nicely decorated. You see the decoration. So I approached, because he's a friend, I was following him, so I approached the casket, and I noticed the decorations, even the body, and in the casket, how they had decorated the face. They had done it in a way that you think the person is not dead. Nicely decorated to give it like some kind of life in the face. And the casket, it had a satin lying in them, because the guy is rich. So I look at the whole thing, I say, listen, no matter what you do, death is never beautiful. Owo enye feda, oye den, oko fa gold, okra peti tumwa, owo is never beautiful. It is always horrible. Death is a horrible thing. Don't let anybody deceive you that death, according to the Bible, is man's enemy. Bible just say, owo enye nipa ye tanfo. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 26, it tells you that death is an enemy. And it's an enemy that you must face. Yeah, well, enemy be a honor man, where you will burn some, and that's why you will turn from someone from him, because you need the biaka. Whatever your enemy is, so nishia. But almost it's so nishia. It's an enemy that you must face. So it is important to learn about the enemy. That's why it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So what does the Bible say about death? The first thing the Bible says is that it shows us the origin of death. Bible saying, "Owo ni fitiansi ye." The area owo ebai. Bible any plain to us. Wakache makan earlier said the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful garden, perfect place for men to dwell in. That's how God created it. That it should be a perfect place for men to dwell in. Sin and death have never entered there. When God created, that's why God said everything was good. Everything was good. Everything was, sin was not there. Death too was not there. And then God said to Adam, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt enter the eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." And that will be said by man. That now be surely. He said, "Idea by all means will be would dear the abandon." This is what God said to Adam. What happened? Adam and Eve disobeyed. Omo iti o nyankopon asem. Omo abon sam through the snake. Ebe da da omo. Ema omo di eduaban. Right from the day omo di eno, death entered. It didn't make us say death was there. That's not law ni ho. Ene bi o biya kase se meyesi ane ebony, meyesi anye ebony. Not law my. And so people were dying. Why? It shows that death came as a result of sin. Because by then there was no law. God said, "Thou shalt surely die." And then later on, God listed so many men from Adam to Noah. It's only Enoch who was translated to heaven. We didn't see Enoch dying. Apart from him, what does the Bible say? Some time ago, our brother was preaching on this, and the emphasis was that he died. He died. Everybody that God mentions, he died. He died. Oh, we, oh, we, oh, we. All of them died. So what is God teaching us? He's telling us that you shall surely die. By all means, you die. Then go to the history of the kings of Judah and Israel. All the kings, you see that they reigned and they died. They reigned and they died. Even Moses, God tell Moses, "Behold, thy days approach that thou must die." Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 14. He said, "Behold, thy days approach that thou must die." He said the same thing to King Hezekiah. In Isaiah 38 verse 1, "See, thou shalt die." Ubewu. Nyakopona ekache nisa. Yeba New Testament imwa. Christ also spoke about death. He talked about the rich man who died and went to hell. In Luke chapter 16 verse 19 to 31, you can later on read. And another one, he talked about the rich man who had so much produce and he was grovelling, and he said, "This night your life will be taken from you." In Luke chapter 13 verse 21, 12 verse 13 to 21, he said the same thing to the Pharisees, that they would die in their sins. John chapter 6 verse 24, he said they would die in their sins. Ombewu ewo ombonim. So what man has to say? Ombewu or ombonim. So the Bible tells us plainly that death comes because of sin. So when Adam sinned, right from there, death came into all his descendants, which are what who we are. All of us, death is in us. So the seed of death is already in our bodies. Our teeth decay, isn't it? When you are a child, look at how your teeth is. When you are growing, you see your teeth decaying, you see all forms of weaknesses, your eyes grow weaker, you know, so in some of them your high pressure goes up, a whole lot of things as we grow. So the body decays. I've seen children who die of cancer, of leukemia and other diseases, and they are all children. So death is for everybody, both children and then the adults. So remember, it is appointed unto men to die once and after death. Yet even in life, the florist, those who sell flowers, oh, I'm talking flowers, no. Oh yeah, the only one they prepare, they decorate if you see us, or come be a florist here. The only one is all your more pan, they did that if you. In the same way, those who sell life insurance now, you look at them when they come to you, they are talking more about death. Who from this war? They say who secure who are? If must. All those things are telling us that death is there. And it has become part of us since the fall of Adam. Now, thousands of people also die every year through various kinds of accidents. People commit suicide, even through lorry accidents. In the olden times, I remember the architects, when they are designing a house or a room, they measure the door according to the size of a coffin. Almost sit down here, almost share a prono. Say a prono, if you're not coming to me after Moana. So it tells you that death has become part of us. In everything that we do, we know that death is there. The only problem is that some people think when you die, that is it. Some people too think that when you die, that's not it, but they don't have a means of saving themselves. So if you are a believer, so you will be ordinary and good point here. What make us say all these things, all what I'm talking about don't scare you. And you are right. So say a mo you are right. Because why? Because you have placed your hope in Christ. Would you in Yesu? Yesu is a conquer. And it's only a believer. You don't fear death because he has conquered death. The person you are believing in will deal with him. And today necessary. But say when you're a believer there, say so you must fear death. If you have not come to believe and giving your life to Christ, then death comes to you and you have to be scared. Because when you die, that is the end. When you die and you haven't committed your life to Christ, that is the end. You have no other chance again. Death comes and that is all you are. And remember that death can come to you very soon. I personally, even me that I'm standing here, I can testify to some people that I've preached to in our visitation. Some of them will just, go away with your... Some of them will even scorn me. And really, some few days later, I will see their posters. Personally, I'm telling you, I've seen so many of them that I've talked to and they didn't want to hear from me. The next time I go there, I'll see their poster there. See, if they are listening to me at that time, maybe they would have been saved. So God was even telling me personally that this is how life is. You are dead today, the next day you are not dead. So this is the day of salvation. If you hear the word today, don't procrastinate, don't waste. Give your life to Christ so that even if you die that day, you know where you are going, because death is certain. It will by all means have been disappointed by God. The second thing that the Bible tells us about death is what happens to the born again child. We will be out of Muhammad Yeshua. Who are then at all? Apostle Paul, or say absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Say me free honam we mwa. Na me ni onyakupon ena fi de woho. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is the portion of the born again. Say we will be out of Muhammad Yeshua. Edu boni achewa. Uwu ye na no. You are going to where Christ is. When the Christian dies, his body goes into the grave. Body where they be call amenem. By your spirit or your soul, the one kasa paiomono, it goes to be with the Lord. How do we know this? When Christ was dying, you remember the dying thief who was with Christ. When he believed Christ, Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Okay, yes, and Luke chapter 23 verse 43. So we are Christian here, death should not terrify you. If you are a Christian, don't fear death, because death becomes a fast woman. It's never going to get better. It's going to get worse. According to the Bible, it's a doom world. It's going to get worse and worse. Don't believe in the advancement in technology and all those things. It leads to nothing. The world is decaying. It's decaying. It's getting worse and worse and worse. When even God calls you and you know you are a believer, you are going to a better place. You can't even describe heaven as compared to the earth. So if you are a believer, death will not terrify you. But what about when you are not a believer? In the same Luke chapter 6:16, we talk. I just read it earlier on. When the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, and he was in torment. Who cares how to? Oh, here ni 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 osikeni no omuwe no osikeni ni ti ni no na oda hell ah or suffer. Into which you say hell no and you say be an assassin be na yet to a dear woho ah we come to say oh suffer and you say be a woho you see it that you are in torment. This man saw that he was in torment. He was conscious of what he was going through, and that is where the place of the unbeliever is. They are the same way as the believer's body goes to the grave, his body also goes to the grave. But his soul, it goes to eternal suffering. Christ in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, he said, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is Christ saying this in Revelation chapter 21. In the same Revelation chapter 14, he said, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or they have no rest day or night. A journal exhausts forever and ever. So do we have any chance again after death? The Bible says no. Once you die, you have no chance again. Look at what when the man was suffering and he saw the poor man in Abraham's bosom, he told Abraham to let the boy come and even give me some small water to drink. Let's see what Abraham said in Luke chapter 16, verse 26. He said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Or see, baby, I want to be me free hand, Emma Gemoho. And I want me free a horse, Emma. It's not almost so work to hell about it. They are all lying. I don't know if you have stories that people say they died and they went to hell and God has sent them to come back and tell us. It is not true, because here the Bible says you can't go there and come back. Nobody can go from here to there, and nobody can come from there to here. So once you die and you are not in Christ, you go straight to hell. And there's no story about that. So there will be no other way of repentance, according to the Bible, when you die. The third thing that the Bible teaches about death is that it warns about sudden death. The Bible warns us. You see, and if you look at people who die, more than half are sudden death. And you are almost expert. Most of death are sudden. Only now also. Glory accidents. Murders, those who are murdered, those who commit suicide, those who die during war, heart attacks, they are all sudden. You don't expect it. It comes all of a sudden, and then you are gone. So those people who die through this sudden death, they have no chance of repentance, because before they realize death is there. That is why you must examine yourself every day. If death comes today, where will I stand? If death comes today or the next hour, because it can happen within a few minutes, where will I stand? You must be able to tell. If you can't say I will go to hell or I'll go to heaven, then if you can't say I will go to heaven, it means you have a problem, because those who go to heaven, they know. Obi no how go heaven or because onim na me dem twen me do hono ma de yakobo be ka bia. You must know. You must look for it now before the time comes, because disappointed unto men to die after death, there's no chance again. So you have to face God prepared. Don't face God unprepared and think that, oh, if I go and meet God, it depends on what God will say. It's risky. Because when you get there, there's no chance. Let's see what the Bible says about that in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. It says, he that being often reproved, which means to see a yekasemusho, na yekacho, na yekacho, na uhadin, wakumano. Suddenly, there will be a sudden death to destroy you, and there will be without remedy. That is the Bible warning us that if you hear the gospel week by week, day by day, and you don't pay heed, you don't take notice, and you die, that will be the end. So if you were to die suddenly, ask yourself today, if you were to die today, where will you be? If you can't point to your chest and say, yes, I will go to heaven, then there's a problem. And thanks to God, there's a solution. Because you are still not dead. There's time for you to repent. Unless you can say with Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain, yeah, the emphasis on Otiasia, Otima Yesu, Owunsua, a emphasis woman. Because where? He's still going to Christ. Where is a better place? Because the Bible says, it is appointed unto man to die once, and after death, there's judgment. I remember last two weeks, when we went on visitation, I said this to one young man. I asked him that if death should come to you today, where will you be? Will you go to heaven or hell? I said, oh, maybe I've never thought about this. I said, I mean, I'm not sacred. I said, I'm mad at him, sacred. And it is sad that you live in a world that is doomed, and you can die at any time, and yet it doesn't occur to you at all. That when it happens, where would I go? We should thank God that we here can hear all these things, all these gospel messages. We thank God that we have access to them. People don't know. And yet, the boy goes to church. He goes to church every Sunday. And he said it has never occurred to him that one day he would die and go and face judgment. We should thank God. Because Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins, for the penalty due to our sins. Because all the reason why he shed his blood is that we will be saved. We were supposed to be punished, but he took our punishment on the cross, that our sins will be forgiven. And he rose up physically. People saw him. It is a curse of him. Because he has been raised. He died and came back to life. So if you say he will give you life eternal, it is true. He is the only one who died and was able to come back to life. Yesterday I was witnessing to the same Muslim, and when I was talking about the blood of Christ, which cleansed, I was using the same chapter here, especially the verse 22, when he said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You know what the girl said? He said, if you say Christ's blood is the one that cleanses us from our sins, then how can that small blood cleanse everybody's sins? You see what he was saying? Better than Jesus, but you're craving him. I be paying for what we are seeing now, burning. That was the question he was asking me. As if physically you are going to use the blood of Christ to cleanse people. They don't understand. So because of that, because they think it's not possible, they won't believe. If you tell them that the blood of Christ is what cleanses from our sins, because it thinks that it can't be done for everybody, it thinks it is not true. And it's very sad. We should thank God that we here, we can hear this kind of messages. Once you die, the next fearful thing is judgment. Nothing again than judgment. You have no other chance. Don't believe in purgatory and all those things. It is not true. The Bible says it is appointed unto men to die once. After death, there is judgment. So give your life to Christ, because he is the one who died on the cross to cleanse you from your sins. He is the one who came back to life again. So he knows about death. He has control over death. He can revive you again. He will bring you back to life and take you to where he is. So you must encounter him. He is a changing, he is the one who can change your heart and convert you. And once that is done, then you have hope. And it is true. Me personally, I can tell you, when anything, I say to me, if I die today, I don't care. because I don't know what's going to happen to me the next day. But if I die and I'm going to Christ, why should I worry? Can you compare this world to heaven? No way. You can never compare this world to heaven. So if Christ says he's calling you to come there, wouldn't you be happy? When people are going to America, you see how they spend all... People sell their houses to go to America because they think it's a better land. How about you who is going to heaven? America, where in the whole world, there's nowhere that you can see crime more than in America. And yet people are going there and they sell their houses and go there. Now Christ is calling you to heaven, where there's no sin, where there's no death, where there's no sickness, no poverty. And you can't spend all your time to look for such a place, but you can send your house to go and look for a visa and ticket and go to America. It's sad. We should think about our life after death, because death is not the end. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The reason why he came into this world is to come and save sinners. And this is what Hebrews is talking about. After painting the picture that after death there's judgment, now he came to show us the way to avoid the judgment. My prayer is that one of you, somebody here who has not been saved, Jesus will save the person today to a life of hope. This life that we are in now is a hopeless life. Nothing is going to get better. Poverty is going to increase. Diseases are coming. Some time ago we had AIDS. The latest one was Ebola. Who knows the next one? And the next one? And the next one? Who knows? We live in a world of evil and wickedness. We should think of where Christ will take us to. And I pray that God will direct us. Now this Hebrews account, we don't know the author actually. Me personally, I think it's Paul. But because the Bible doesn't say, I can't stick my head and say it's Paul. But whatever the person, he was writing to the Hebrews. They were being tempted to turn away from Christ to their former Jewish religion. That was when this letter was sent to them. And he was telling them some vital points in the scriptures. That is why he said, he's appointed unto man to die after death the judgment. And when he pointed to Christ, he was talking about the superiority of Christ as compared to the Old Testament, when they were killing animals and using their blood to cleanse them from their sins. He was talking to them that Christ's blood is the superior blood, a better blood, blood that can truly cleanse you from your sins. Those blood that they were using, if they were to be true, well, how come they were doing it year by year, every year? Every year they have to go to as I was reading from the Bible, every year they have to go to the holy place and slaughter animals, sprinkle their blood on the objects there. And the chief priest himself also asked for sins of himself. He is a sinner. He has to ask God to forgive him. And then he comes. Every day he goes, every year he goes, every year he goes. Christ has come to do it once and for all people. Everybody who will believe in Christ, your sins are forgiven you. People have issues when we say, oh, Christ died for all. It doesn't mean that everybody will be saved. Otherwise, John 3:16 will not say that those who will believe are those who will not perish. It is only those who will believe. They are the ones who will not perish. Even though he has made salvation possible to everybody, it is those who will believe and commit their life to him. They are the ones who will be saved. It's not everybody. Otherwise, why is Christ saying that that man was in hell? If everybody will be saved, why is that man in hell? So people will go to hell, people will go to heaven. The same way as Noah's time, those who entered the ark, they were saved from the flood. Those who did not enter, they were drowned. They all got drowned. The same way with Sodom and Gomorrah, those who did not believe to leave the town, they all got burnt. In the same way, we are telling you now that leave this world and come and follow God. Those who believe and come, when the time comes, they will be saved. Those who will not come, they will be dead. So he's telling them about the superiority of Christ when it comes to salvation and his supremacy. He is supreme as compared to the Old Testament things that they were doing. And also telling them about his all sufficiency. Christ's death is sufficient for all your sins to be forgiven you. You mention any sin that is in you, and see if Christ was not accused of any sin. Is it stealing? Is it blaspheming? Whatever you can say about yourself, they accuse Christ of. So he bore all our sins. So he's sufficient that when we believe in him, all our sins will be forgiven us. And then Hebrews is also teaching them about the sacrifices, how Christ was sacrificed for our sins. I always say that we in Africa here, we must understand this clearly, because in our villages, when you go and commit something serious in the town, they call you to the chief palace. What they do? They can say, "Kutemoja, for Ujaibra, and Nasakokobra, Yintemoja, and Sam, everybody at Achel." That is what it is. That is why Hebrews 9:22 says that unless blood is shed, sin cannot be forgiven. So what the apostle is saying in this Hebrews account is that to turn to anything apart from Christ is fatal spiritually. So what we need as well to be biaso, not saying yes, so I don't know how to say it in tree. So what for my yes, now we need to add to biaso. It will lead you to nothing. It is only Christ. He's saying that Christ alone fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. Everything that they were doing, there's any man that they were slaughtering. You remember during the time of when the Israelites were in Egypt and God was going to punish the Egyptians, he said they should mark their doors with blood, isn't it? And the blood must be spotless. They all represent Christ. They are all pointing to Christ, that Christ is the one who has never sinned. Every human being, mention any leader, any religious leader, the person is a sinner because he was born from Adam. It is only Christ who was conceived by a virgin. He has never sinned. In this world, he never sinned. So he alone qualifies that his blood can cleanse us from our sins. So he is the only one who fulfills all the sacrifices and all what they were doing in the Old Testament. And he is a type. He is a type of those people are a type of Christ. They were pointing us that Christ was to come. He is the one that we should listen to. All the rituals that they were performing, if you look at them, when I was reading the account in Hebrews, you will see that all what they were doing was pointing to Jesus Christ. And now Christ has come. And he said, "I've laid down my life for you. Believe in me, and your sins will be forgiven you." What are you waiting for? What do you want to see? Do you believe this or not? Some people say they believe. They believe that Jesus Christ came and died, but they have not fully trusted him and given their life to him so that their sins will be forgiven you. So if you look at all these things that we have read in Hebrews, it's laying emphasis on the supremacy of Christ and repeating them. If you read, for instance, verse 24, Hebrews 9, verse 24. Let's turn there quickly. He said, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Compare that one with chapter 9, verse 11. He said, "But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of the building. You see, he's emphasizing that what they were doing there, when they were going to the Holy of Holies and they were performing all, and it was when they go there, when the priests go inside there and the people are waiting, they are so eager, because the priest too, if he has committed sin, he can die there. He can die in the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, nobody can go there. When he dies, nobody can even go and bring the body. So what they do when he's going there, they tie the person with some kind of chain. So the chain will be making noise. So in case they don't hear noise again, it means the man is dead. So you can see how eager they'll be waiting for the man. So that when the man comes, then they know that their sacrifice has been accepted. And now their sins have been forgiven them. In the same way, if Christ had not come back from death, we would never be able to believe that his sacrifice has been accepted. See, yes, you say, "No, I have the money be on you more, and Kabre and Nikobo, of course, and go away and go to and maybe. Because there was no sin in him, the sacrifice was accepted, and therefore we can hope that Christ can also bring us back to life when the time comes, because he himself has proved that he has power over death. It is the same thing. If you look at verse 25 and to 26, and you look at verse 9, chapter 9, verse 12, it's saying the same thing. It's laying more emphasis. Let's turn there quickly. Verse 26, 25 and 26. He said, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now compare that to verse 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, those times they were sacrificing animals of blood of animals, but here his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, mind you, he is God who came in the form of a human being. That is one thing that I always say, that if you want to know how serious sin is, people joke with sin. People think, because sometimes when I go out and I'm preaching to people, they say, oh, as for sin, and God knows it is bonny there. So you think that if bonny is nothing, come by Jesus Christ and stand now, but be woo and stand now, be bonny at you. So bonny is small thing. Do you think it will take Christ himself to come and die before you be forgiven? It tells you that sin is very serious in the eyes of God. Bonny say, yeah, fa bonny in chair. Bonny will be free at the mobile and say, yeah, pile free on home. That's all them we are seeing more. Only Yakupon in me track and be out. Because God is holy, 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 and your sins must be forgiven you before we can have access to God. So here, all these things are telling you that Christ has to come and die so that our sins will be forgiven you. So he lays emphasis and more emphasis on all this. But all what he's saying in summary is that we were born in sin. We live in sin. All our lives have been sin. God is a holy, holy, holy God. Before we come to God, we must come to God as somebody who has never sinned. And no human being on earth can achieve. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are like, when you come before God, God sees you as Jesus Christ. Not as you yourself, because you, your old self, is now dead. Now you are in Christ, so God sees you. That is the only way you can come to God. You can never go to God and say, okay, my body was about 60% and now 40% and I'm 50%, so therefore I can come to God. No, you have to be 100%, and because you can't get, he himself has come to give it to you. It's free righteousness in Christ. Believe in Christ, and Christ, who never sinned, will give you his righteousness so that you can take it to appear before God. It's not good news that you who have lived sinful all your life, you were born in sin, you have lived in sin, now Christ, who never sinned, that's how we call it imputation, or the mount free, said, then when you come before God, God will see you as Christ. This is the only way. There's no other way that you can go to God, because God is holy. That's why he said, I am holy, so you must be holy. But how can you be holy? You can never be holy unless Christ dwells in you. Unless you give your life to Jesus Christ, believe in him, that when he was dying on the cross, he was dying for you. And your hope and your trust is in him. So when you appear before God and God asks you, why should I allow you into my kingdom? You can tell God that, God, you said, if I believe in Jesus Christ, you will forgive me of all my sins. You allow me into your kingdom. I believe in him. He is my hope. He is my trust. That is why I'm coming to you. That is your only way. There's no other way. You can never go to God and tell God, so say boni die, unu say obi aye boni, nti my boni die, and so no, because you are a merciful God. It's true, he's a merciful God, but don't forget that he's a God of justice too. It is both mercy and justice which must work together. And yes, so merciful, you know. So I can say, why born in bad choir? Then he's not God. That he's not being just. Because you, what can say Bonnie must be punished, and you are God who cannot lie. So if you say sin must be punished, and I've sinned, and because you like me, you can say, oh, you go. Then he can't be God. But because he's a merciful God and a just God, he has to let the two work together. His mercy and then his just. His mercy is that he himself will come in the form of a man and die to save you from your sins. His justice is that he has punished you in Christ. So that you see, he has done the two. He has been just by punishing Christ. You were supposed to be punished, but he has punished Christ for you. So that shows his just. And his mercy is that he allowed his son to come and die so that your sins will be forgiven you. So now he has been a God of justice and a God of love or of mercy. That's what he has done for us. So my dear brothers and sisters, what are you waiting for? My prayer for you is that if you have been giving your life to Christ today, today is the day. Let today be the day. Because you don't know when you will die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man to die once. After death, there's judgment. Remember the word once. When you die, that is the end. I know some religions believe that you can die and come again and again and again. It is not true. The Bible says you die once, and after death, there's judgment. So ask yourself today, if I were to die today, where would I go? Can I say in my heart that I will go to where God is? Can I go to God's kingdom? And you want to go there? If you want to go there, I'm pleading with you. This is the day. Here, we don't say, stand up if you want to give your life to God and say after me. That thing is not biblical. It's not in the Bible anywhere. You have to believe what I told you, that it is from God. Bow down your knees and pray to God. Tell God that you have believed that you are a sinner. You can't do anything about your sin. Christ has come to die to save you from your sins. So God must forgive you and take you in. And God, who has said that he will never leave you nor forsake you, if he said this, he will truly pardon and forgive you. And when he forgives you, he will seal you with the Holy Spirit so that you can lead a good life as we are waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he has come to do for us on Calvary. Our only hope that through him we shall be reconciled to you, our source of life and our source of power. Father, we pray for your blessing upon your word this morning, that all those who hear you be convicted of their sins and to turn unto you for salvation. Oh Father, do this for thine own glory's sake, for we have come praying in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.